the U.S. says no to Ukraine on long-range missiles, and a new report on food insecurity among troops. All of that more today, January 20th, 2023. Good morning, early birds. I'm Jonathan Lehrfeld, and this is the Early Bird Brief, produced by Defense News and Military Times. First up, the U.S. has decided for now against providing Ukraine with the Army Tactical Missile System long-range missiles. Colin Kahl, the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, told reporters on Wednesday, quote, "Our view is that we think the Ukrainians can change the dynamic on the battlefield and achieve the type of effects they want to push the Russians back without the ATACMS." ATACMS are fired by the Lockheed Martin-made High Mobility Artillery Rocket System, or HIMARS. Here's why it matters. Ukraine has been asking the U.S. for these for months because it would let it hit Russian targets nearly 200 miles away. But the U.S. fears it would escalate the conflict. Kahl said that the other long-range systems from the Pentagon, including Joint Direct Attack Munition Kits that turn air-to-surface bombs into precision weapons, and thousands of 50-mile range guided multiple launch rocket systems already give Ukraine, quote, strike potential in the coming phase of the conflict. Another important story, enlisted personnel generally earn more money than their civilian counterparts, but have a higher rate of food insecurity, according to a recent report from the RAND Corporation. Researchers determined that 25.8% of active duty members were food insecure in 2018, compared to 9% of civilians. Beth Ash, a senior economist at RAND and lead author of the study, said, quote, "I wasn't expecting that the rate of food insecurity would be so high relative to civilians." Researchers found that food insecure active duty members were more likely to be in the grades of E4 to E6, were more likely to be part of a racial or ethnic minority, and were more likely to be living on post. Some advocates are saying more still needs to be done to enact common sense policy fixes that would help more military families access food assistance. In other news, Secretary of State Antony Blinken recently met with his Turkish counterpart to discuss a $20 billion arms sale that includes 40 Lockheed Martin Block 70 F-16 fighter jets, as well as upgrades to Turkey's current F-16 fleet. The status of the deal, however, remains in limbo. For more on this, Defense News Air Warfare reporter Stephen Losey breaks it all down for us.
Turkey is lobbying hard to get the United States to approve a major sale of F-16 fighter jets. But there are some big geopolitical angles at play, and it's far from clear whether a key U.S. senator will hold up the potential $20 billion arms sale. There's a lot of moving parts to this story, so buckle up. Turkey has a fleet of F-16s made by Lockheed Martin. They want to buy 40 new fighters, as well as upgrade its current fleet. Turkey is so interested that its foreign minister was in Washington Wednesday to meet with U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken. But here's where things get tricky. Senator Bob Menendez, the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, is very opposed to the Biden administration selling F-16s to Turkey, and he isn't backing down. Menendez this week criticized Turkish President Erdogan's human rights record and what he called alarming and destabilizing behavior in Turkey and against neighboring NATO ally Greece. Turkey could have a major card to play, however. Finland and Sweden's effort to join NATO. Since last year, Turkey has held up their application over those nations' support for Kurdish organizations, which Turkey has labeled terrorists. Even if Turkey dropped its opposition to Finland and Sweden and NATO, it's far from certain that would be enough of a carrot for Senator Menendez to sign off on the F-16 sale. Also in the mix, another pending deal for Greece to buy 20 F-35As, also made by Lockheed. But Turkey and Greece have some major tensions between one another, and both countries are lobbying the U.S. to nix the fighter jet sales to the other. And if that wasn't complicated enough, even if the U.S. did approve Turkey's F-16 sale, it's hard to say when they might actually get them. The U.S. isn't buying any more F-16s, but they're very in-demand weapons for other countries. Lockheed is building F-16s as fast as they can in South Carolina, but there's a major backlog they're still trying to work through. And it's still up in the air as to whether those fighter sales will even happen. So far, state hasn't formally notified Congress about either the F-16 sale to Turkey or the F-35s for Greece. Keep reading Defense News for the latest updates on this story.
Thanks, Stephen. If you enjoyed our conversation with Stephen, Be sure to rate us and leave a comment wherever you get your podcasts. Also on your radar for today, Republican lawmakers in Ohio passed a bill that new voters can no longer use county-issued veteran IDs to vote in Ohio under the state's new election law, which excludes them from being accepted at polling places. Governor Mike DeWine signed House Bill 458 earlier this month after it was rushed through a lame duck session by the heavily gerrymandered legislature in December. In previous elections, voters could confirm their identities not only with a valid driver's license, but also with documents such as a utility bill and a county-issued vet ID. Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose said that he found instances of voter fraud in just one of every 222,000 votes cast, a statistically insignificant percentage. But that did not stop Ohio legislators, who passed the law requiring Ohioans to have a driver's license, state ID, passport, or military ID to cast a vote. The bill, however, does allow people to use federally issued military and veterans ID cards and Ohio National Guard IDs to vote. And now, here are some other stories that we're hearing chirps about. New York Daily News is reporting that a homeless New Jersey veteran is saying Republican Congressman George Santos is the phony animal advocate who scammed him out of $3,000 that donors chipped in to save his dying dog. The Washington Post and others are reporting that GOP Congressman Greg Stube, an Army veteran, suffered, quote, serious injuries after a 25-foot fall off a ladder. Military.com is reporting that the VA quietly changed the name of its medical center in Richmond, Virginia last week that previously honored a Confederate officer. And Reuters is reporting that the Pentagon is asking U.S. Forces Korea to provide equipment for Ukraine in its war against Russia.
Now, day one of Ronald Reagan's presidency, and day one of freedom for 52 Americans. Though thousands of miles apart, these two historic events moved almost on parallel tracks today. The new president
and
had not
on this day in history, in 1981, the Iranian hostage crisis ended. Minutes after Ronald Reagan's inauguration, the captives held at the U.S. Embassy in Tehran were released. Militant Iranian students were outraged in 1979 when the U.S. government allowed the ousted Shah of Iran to come to the U.S. to seek medical treatment. Then-President Jimmy Carter was unable to broker a diplomatic solution and even initiated a disastrous rescue mission in which 8 U.S. military personnel were killed. After 444 days, the captives were released. That's it for us this morning. To get more of the top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. If you liked what you heard, give us a like wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to follow us on social media at @defense_news and at Military Times. Also, please rate us and be sure to leave a comment. The Early Bird Brief is hosted by me, Jonathan Lehrfeld, and produced by Zimone Z. Perez. Today's episode features stories by Joe Gould, Karen Jowers, Bryant Harris, Stephen Losey, and Marty Schladen. Our editor-in-chief is Mike Roos. Have a great day.